It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps. Remember the first time you saw a piece of art that shocked you?
I grew up in Baltimore watching movies like Maniac and Olga's House of Shame and the Rex Theater. And that's kind of how I grew up. And then underground movies at the same time, which I would run away to New York and see in lofts. And police would raid it and bust the projectionist and take half the audience away. I mean, that's when you go to the movies and something happens.
Film director John Waters.
I'm William Castle. I feel obligated to warn you about the next attraction you will see at this theater. The picture is The Tingler.
The Tingler was a thing that lived inside you, and it got bigger and bigger when you were frightened, and the only way to kill it was to scream.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic.
And in the movie, the Tingler gets loose in a movie theater, and then they stop and say,
"The Tingler is loose in this theater. Scream for your lives."
And then buzzers went off under your seats. And when I finally, I went to the Towson Theater and it would finally play there, they only would wire like three or four seats, you know, but I'd go in and find those seats and just sit there. Screaming cinema, mayhem and anarchy. I've always wanted to be able to reproduce that. So there was, of course, Smell-O-Vision that came out, and then mine was Odorama, which was pizza, dirty feet, farts. When they did the cards later for DVD, the company wouldn't do it. They said, "We can't be having encouraging young people to sniff glue." I did sniff glue. It works.
Today we're talking about shock value, the virtues of transgressive, subversive, rule-breaking art as an aesthetic and also as a way of life. Performance artist Marina Abramovich will be joining us. She has invited audiences to kick, punch, stab, burn, or shoot her, and she once turned herself into a display at MoMA. For 700 hours, she sat in a chair while 750,000 museum-goers took turns staring at her. But first, Pablo Picasso said good taste is the enemy of great art, and filmmaker John Waters has a corollary. Bad taste is what entertainment is all about. He also says that if someone vomits while watching one of his movies, he considers it the equivalent of a standing ovation. Maybe not the kind of guy you hope your kid will adopt as a role model. So what possessed the Rhode Island School of Design to invite him to give a commencement address?
Okay, I'm supposed to inspire you. How's this? Somehow, I've been able to make a living doing what I love best for 50 years without ever having to get a real job. But how can you be so disciplined, friends always ask, when I tell them my job is to get up every day at 6 a.m., Monday to Friday, and think up insane stuff? Easy. If I didn't work this hard for myself, I'd have to go work for somebody else. Plus, I can go to my office one room away from my bedroom in my own house, dressed in my underpants if I want to. You're lucky. When I went to school, my teachers discouraged every dream I ever had. I wanted to be the filthiest person alive, but no school would let me. I bet RISD would have. You could possibly even make a snuff movie here and get an A+. Hopefully, you have been taught never to fear rejection in the workplace. Remember, a no is free. Ask for the world and pay no mind if you were initially turned down. A career in the arts is like a hitchhiking trip. All you need is one person to say, "Get in," and off you go. And then the confidence begins.
And now John Waters has turned that commencement address into a book called Make Trouble, with illustrations by Eric Hansen. Doug Gordon sat down to find out more.
What honorary degree did the RISD bestow upon you?
Well, it was for the arts. And I think I had gotten one time when I taught at a prison in Maryland. Patuxent Institute, and this was in the 80s, you had to have a degree. So they gave me a lifetime degree, which just means that you're crazy and didn't go to school and got attention. So I guess I got some kind of degree so I could teach in prison, because they got real graduation and everything. And this one was more like when they give the Wizard of Oz the brain and the end of the Wizard of Oz when they hand that paper. So it was kind of like that. And then I went to a dinner, and it was great. I was very proud of it. The whole thing was great. And since then, I got another honorary degree, and I had big retrospectives. I got a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Writers Guild. It's great. It's like being at your own funeral and getting to hear the eulogies while you're still alive.
Like Tom Sawyer, yeah. And where he's got to hear all the eulogies at his own funeral.
So it's good.
Yeah, it's great. How did you decide what you wanted to say to them? Was that something you struggled with, being that this was the first commencement address you'd done?
I don't think it was a struggle. I think I've always been a filth elder, and I think I've been counseling kids how to be juvenile delinquents in a proper way for years. So it came pretty naturally. It took me a couple days to write it. I read it to a friend of mine. He said, well, I don't know. You better run that one past somebody else. Because all the things I write, I always think, well, they can go either way, you know?
Yeah.
And lately, nobody gets mad at anything I say, and I probably say stuff today that is even probably maybe more controversial than I did when I started. So I don't know. Things have obviously changed. I think that's because you stick around long enough, they can't get rid of you, and they start to respect you. So I'm thrilled with it all. I think they treated me very, very fairly there. I was honored to get the degree. Ever since, I've been prescribing OxyContin. I've been abusing it. I demand tenure. I've become ruthless. You know, once you get in academia, it's a cutthroat world.
You should start your own school, the John Waters School of Filmmaking.
Well, you know, I was literally, and this is true, I was offered at one time to start a reform school for kids.
Really?
And these were the people I worked in the prisons with. And I liked the idea only because it would be the John Waters Reform School. So parents would say, if you're not good, yeah, you're going to John Waters. But yeah, I would have had to give up everything else to do this. You know, it would have been a full-time job. But you never know. I always have a lot of backup careers. So Warden is another one that I might do later in life.
Warden Waters. That's nice. Very alliterative. I like it.
All boys are bad boys. Yeah. That'd be the opposite of Father Flanagan.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a good boy.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you about a few of the many wise things that you said in your speech. One thing you said is you need to prepare sneak attacks on society. Can you give me an example of one of the sneak attacks you have made on society?
Yeah, hairspray. Who would have ever thought that it would play in every high school in America and it's two men singing a love song to each other? It is basically a musical that encourages your white daughter to date black guys. There's a whole song about that.
Timeless to me.
Wilbur, let's take this upstairs.
You're timeless to me.
So I think it was a sneak attack. It was a Trojan horse, and nobody to this day still realizes it.
Well, now they do because you've admitted it.
Yeah, but nobody ever objects.
Hmm.
No parents ever seem to be upset about hairspray. And that's because it's not mean. And that's why I tell everybody the only way you can change anybody's mind is to make them laugh, not preach, not get on a soapbox, not be holier than thou, not be a separatist, not say, oh, I'm leaving the country, all that. Who cares if you leave the country? So, I mean, basically, I think it was a sneak attack. Pink Flamingos was certainly preaching to the converted, mm-hmm, and hairspray was the only devious movie I ever made.
Yeah. Was that intentional? Were you planning on that? Was that a goal?
No, it was an accident. Yeah. I mean, when I made Hairspray, I didn't think, oh, this is going to be a commercial one or anything.
Yeah.
And I remember when we got the PG rating, I thought I would never work again. And even New Line at the time wanted me to put one four-letter word in so we'd get a PG-13. Uh-huh. But I said, that's not so shocking. Let's have the shock be that it is a movie for the whole family with Divine as the star.
That's very subversive. I like that. You told these young people at the Rhode Island School of Design that contemporary art's job is to wreck what came before.
Sure, it is. I mean, think about it. Pop art ended abstract expressionism. Minimalism tried to end pop art. rap maybe ended punk. Punk ended the Beatles. I think every new thing that comes along has to wreck what comes before it. And contemporary art does hate you if you have contempt before investigation. You have to like it before it hates you.
And you've done a fair share of wrecking contemporary art in your career, right?
Well, joyful wrecking, certainly. Pink Flamingos was a terrorist attack on the tyranny of good taste, yes.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you told the graduates was to use technology for transgression, not lazy social living. I think I have a hunch of what you're saying there, but I'd like you to spell it out for me, what you're talking about with that one.
Yeah, hack and find out what porn Trump rents. Don't never go out of your house or get dressed because you're on Facebook all day.
Yeah.
And I'm for Facebook. I'm not against any of these things. I mean, it's not like I'm a Luddite. You know, I'm not on Facebook because I want to be harder to reach. Anybody that I cared about from my past, I've stalked their homes years ago. I don't need to find where they are. I'm not interested in what you had for lunch.
No.
I work 10-hour days as it is. And also, tweeting, I'm not giving away my material for free. I have a spoken word show. I have to write books. I need to bank my material. I'm not giving it away every day. No, but who's going to pay you?
Yeah, I don't even care what I had for lunch, so why should you or anyone else? How did the graduates and their parents respond to your speech?
They seemed very well. I couldn't tell. They laughed a lot. But one time when I started talking to the parents and said, these ungrateful brats, do they think you're made of money? They cheered, and I didn't realize all the parents sit in one section because I heard this whole side of the room really cheer. And I think nobody ever talks to the parents in a truthful way at commencement speeches. They're all so holier than thou. So I said to the parents, you know, what did they expect you to understand everything overnight? Can't they give you a second to adjust to such social changes as sexual reassignment surgery, horn implants, and the political rights of the adult baby community?
Yeah, I love the horn implants line.
Well, I've seen people with horns a lot. They get them implanted now. I think it's nice if you're a little devilish little goth girl or something.
I just wanted to see what you thought of this idea I had about a way to bring back the drive-in movie theater.
Yeah, now they should be able to do them because of digital. You can see it so well outside, so much better than it
well,
used
yeah.
to be.
Well, yeah, but what do you think about this idea? What about doing a mashup combining the Demolition Derby and the drive-in theater? You know, people watch a movie, they get their autoerotic thrills by smashing and bashing their cars into one another. You know, it's foreplay with Fords.
While they're watching a movie?
It's GM meets S&M, yeah. They watch it.
I guess maybe you'd have that at in between the films. Instead of visit at the concession stand, you'd have to go into a separate part.
It makes it extreme, yeah. Though. Imagine, like, that never has a visit to the concession stand been so dangerous.
It's intermission time.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car.
The walk to the concession stand, I always remember when I went to the drive-in, we would forget to take the pole out of the window and pull off and break the whole window and drag the pole along behind you at the drive-in.
If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thanks.
Certainly, my father would be very angry when we would bring home the car with the pole hanging behind it.
Film director John Waters is the author of Make Trouble. He talked with Doug Gordon.